far as we're concerned, you are like, you are, if any family of our mother, Mother Annie, is family of ours. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. For the past couple of weeks, we have been talking about the power of your tongue. Our first foundation scripture was Proverbs 18:21, but we will not be looking at that one today. Today, I will be talking to you on the subject of saying power. Say saying power.
Saying power.
Saying power. Say saying power.
Saying power.
Glory to God. Matthew chapter 21. Let's look at verse 19 very quickly. I can say one thing about the Lord. When his anointing comes on you, no matter how tired you are, you can fulfill his will. Praise
Amen.
God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm thinking this morning, how am I going to make it through this service? Mm-hmm. Praise God. When I first came here, I'm trying to pray before y'all, before the rest of y'all came. I'm praying and I'm falling asleep. but glory to God. Matthew chapter 21, verse 19, and it says, "And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it," say said,
said,
"and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away." Praise God. Now I want you to notice that Jesus said something, not to his disciples, not to God. Who did Jesus say something to?
The tree.
Now, y'all think Jesus is crazy going around talking to trees? I mean, if I was going around talking to speakers and keyboards and computers, y'all think I was nuts, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
I'm glad that somebody's honest in here. Ushers, get that woman. Anyway. No. But the thing is that there is a power in saying something that changes circumstances. Praise God.
Amen.
And we got to learn to say the right thing. Jesus' words have power. And notice when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, something changed about that fig tree, didn't it? Mm-hmm. What did it say? It says that the fig tree withered away. Praise God.
Amen.
He cursed the fig tree. He spoke to it and said, "No fruit will grow on you for henceforth." And the fig tree withered away. See, Jesus' words have power. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, somebody might say, "But Pastor Troy, Jesus is God." So, of course, Jesus being God, if he speaks, something's going to happen, right? Now, that's only half true. That's only half true. Here's the true part that you just said. Jesus is God. Amen. The Bible talks about there are three members of the triune Godhead: the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is just as much God as the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's God, we're not. Praise God.
Amen.
Now that part is definitely true. And that is why we worship God. I remember a young man who visited his church for a couple of weeks. Decided to stop coming. I went to his house to visit with him to find out what was going on. And he told me, he said, "I can't worship with you guys." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because y'all worship Jesus." I said, "Yeah, and?" Well, he said, "The holy book says that Jesus is not God. He's just a prophet." I said, "You're reading the wrong holy book then, son." I said, "That's one thing we ain't changing about this church. And we love you. We want you to come back, but we're going to continue to worship Jesus as God." Praise God.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. So Jesus is definitely God. Say Jesus is God.
Jesus is God.
Say Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Anybody tell you differently? If anybody ever got up in this pulpit and said anything otherwise, that I don't care how great their sermon is, I would stop them right there and tell them, you need to sit down.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus is God. That part is true. And Jesus did have saying power. Now, what people need to understand on the other side of this is that when Jesus became a man and he came to earth and came into a human body, Jesus became just like you and me, except that he never sinned, praise God. But he had all the same shortcomings, and he was subject to all the same issues and problems that you and I are subject to. The Bible talks about how Jesus got tired and he had to sleep. God doesn't get tired of sleep, does he? No, the Bible says he never slumbers or sleeps. Now, before Jesus became a man, he never slumbered or sleep either. But when he had to get in this human body of flesh, he ended up having to sleep. Jesus had to eat. Jesus got hungry, didn't he? It tells you, Jesus was hungry. He was. That's why he saw that fig tree. Jesus was hungry. He went to go to the fig tree on Mark's version. Mark chapter 11 tells you that he was hungry. And he saw the fig tree. And there was no figs on it. And Jesus said, hey, I don't like that. And he spoke to it. And the fig tree died. Jesus was just like, just a man just like you and us. Well, how did Jesus do all those healing miracles? The Bible specifically says it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that he did those miracles. Praise God. Amen. He did not do any miracle of his own inherent power. When he became a man, he gave up all his God powers and became a man just like you and me, so he can show us how we are supposed to live on this earth in the first place. Praise God. Amen. If Jesus had any more advantages than I have, then how am I supposed to follow him? Mm. Amen? Jesus says, be like me, and I'm like, how can I be like you when you got all this God power and I don't? Well, Jesus, when he came to earth, he was just like you and me, and he gave us an example of how to live. That's why I don't excuse sin, even when I do it, praise God. I don't excuse sin because Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, and he never sinned. And somebody says, well, he was God. Of course he didn't sin. No, Jesus was he became a man. Yes. And he suffered temptation just like us, and he was able to resist it. How many of y'all believe Jesus could have sinned?
Amen.
I believe it. I believe Jesus could have sinned. The fact that he is our Savior is the wonderful thing about Jesus and why I can worship him is because even though he could have, he didn't. Praise God. That's why I can look up to him, because he could have, but he didn't. That's why I can follow his example. That's why I know I can't excuse myself when I do mess up. Praise God. Amen. So Jesus was a man just like you and me. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Now go down to verse 20. Let's read verses 20 to 22. I want you to see something. The reason why I'm trying to point this out to you, that Jesus, when he cursed that fig tree, he did it not as God, but as a man, and yet he got result. Praise God. Verse 20, it says, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Now listen to what Jesus says. In verse 21, first I want to show you what he does not say. Jesus does not say, well, disciples, listen, I'm God, you're not. That's why I was able to speak to him, and it withered away. Don't even think that y'all can do what I'm doing, all right? No, Jesus didn't do that, praise God. That's something you and I would do. Amen, in our pride and our sinfulness. Well, you know, because I just got it like that. Because I'm all that and a bag of chips. Jesus, not only was he God, but he was humble, praise God. Now listen to what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, say if ye have faith.
If ye have faith.
And doubt not, say doubt not.
Doubt not.
Ye shall not, look at this. He's talking to you and me here. He said, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. In other words, Jesus is saying, what I did, you can do. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, before we go any further, I don't want y'all going around cursing fig trees, okay? Jesus had a purpose and a reason for what he did. And I'm going to show you later on. Everything you do, do it in line with God's leading and his word. But your words are powerful. Praise God.
Amen.
The reason why many of you are in the situations you are in today is because the words you spoke in years ago, months ago, weeks ago, yesterday. If you change your words, you will change your situation. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus saw a situation. He didn't like the situation, so he changed it by his words. He saw a fig tree that wasn't putting out figs. So he said, you know what? You ain't ever gonna have figs again. And the tree died. Jesus changed the situation. Jesus wants you to learn how to change your situation. Now look at, let's go on again. It says, not only shall ye not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, say. Oh, you got saying power, glory to God. You got some saying power, girl. If you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Oh, I like that. Some people say, well, you know, Pastor, God answers some prayers and some prayers he don't. No, the Bible says to me right here, if I ask in prayer, believing, I will receive. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, how come God don't answer my prayer? Because you don't believe. The reason you even had to ask that in the first place is because you don't believe. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Whenever I don't get my prayers answered, I don't say, why didn't God answer my prayer? I go to God himself and ask him, what's going on here? What am I? I don't blame him. Praise God. Mm-hmm. I believe his word. I don't blame him. I go to God and I ask him, Lord, what am I doing wrong? Amen. And he always tells me. Sometimes I'm praying for the wrong thing, or I'm praying with the wrong purpose. Praise God. With the wrong motive. And you're not going to get prayers answered praying with the wrong motive. If your prayer is selfish, forget it. If you're praying to God, give me $1 million so I can go to Las Vegas and gamble it away. Of course you ain't going to get that prayer answered. Praise God. That's why God can't trust some of y'all with be millionaires. We won't see you next Sunday. You'll be on your yacht. Listening to my CDs. Well, I'm getting the word. I'm listening to you, Pastor. No, I want you pretty behind here. Amen. I stole that joke from my pastor from California, so it ain't original. But he used to say that a lot. He used to crack me up. But it's true, though. But the thing is that God answers prayer. But you got to learn not just to ask God. You've also got to learn to speak the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You've got to learn to speak to your situations. You got to learn to speak to your circumstances. You got to learn to speak positive things over your life, over your family, over your job, over your employment situation. Well, I just can't seem to get a job. Well, that's right. You ain't going to get one either. Praise God. Because you keep saying it.
Yeah.
Nothing ever works out for me. You're right, and it won't either. Because you keep saying it. Nothing ever works out for me. No. If things ain't working out for you, you need to start speaking. Things are going to change around here in Jesus' name. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
My circumstance is going to change. Things are going to start working out. Because all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. So things got to work out.
Hallelujah.
Devil, you can't keep messing around here. You're in the wrong place. You're trespassing.
Hallelujah.
Break out the big guns with the devil. Glory to God.
Amen.
Learn to speak the right words. If you keep saying things that are negative, you got power. There is power. There's life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
Remember, I told you, you open the doors for God and you open the doors for Satan in your life by your words. But Jesus is telling you here, speak the right words and circumstances will change. Glory to God.
Amen.
So the only element that is required of you is faith in God. Now, listen, you've got to understand this principle, because some of y'all have been praying and you're praying and you're praying and then you're wondering why God isn't answering your prayer. It's because you're blocking him by your words. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, God, I'm just using this as an example, because sometimes people are looking for jobs, you know. Sometimes people are unemployed and are praying and they're saying, Father God, please bless me with a job in Jesus' name. And then as soon as Pastor Steve comes, you say, so how's the job hunting going? Man, I don't know what's going on. You know, I've been applying for jobs left and right, and I've been doing this and I've been doing that, putting my resumes and all over the place, and ain't nothing happening. I'm just getting frustrated. And then later on that morning, the next morning, Father God, please bless me with a job. And then Evangelist Julie comes, he says, so how's the job thing going? You know, I called around this morning, and ain't nobody answer my calls. I hate America. I mean, see, you're saying the opposite of what you want God to do for you. And God, here God sending angels to try to work things out for you.
Yes.
And you're saying, well, it ain't working. And the angel stopping and like, Father, he just said it ain't working. And so the angels got to step back because now you just spread doubt. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And the devil steps in and says, get out of my way, angel. He gave me authorization to make sure things don't work out for him.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You are authorizing the devil to work on your behalf whenever you speak negative words. Praise God.
Amen.
When you speak positive words, you are authorizing God to work on your behalf. Hallelujah. One of these days, we're going to talk about the ministry of angels. It's a beautiful ministry.
Yes.
God has angels working on your behalf. Do you know that the Bible says that they are servants for those who are heirs of salvation?
Hallelujah.
Now, don't get goofy like some people do. I've seen some people do this. Now, they forget the word servant, and they think the angels are their slaves.
Mm.
Angels do this. Angels do that.
Mm.
Angels ain't going to listen to your disrespectful behind.
Amen.
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 They're your servants, but you treat them well. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God assigned them to you, but he expects you to treat them with respect.
Amen.
Glory to God, like you're supposed to treat each other. All right. So you speak words that are right and you change your situation. Now, there is a time to pray and a time to say. Amen.
Amen.
See, too many times we are praying and we are praying and we are praying, but we are not saying. There's a certain time after God has said, it's already done. When you don't see it, But God has spoken to you. He's put it in your spirit. It's already done. Then you begin to start saying it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You begin to start exercising the authority that God has given you. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about that God has given each and every one of us dominion. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's given us authority. It's time to start speaking the authority in your life and getting the circumstance changed in your life. Let's look at Exodus chapter 14. I want to show you something amazing that happened to Moses. For those of y'all who don't read your Bibles, the two or three of you that do, Moses is that guy that you read, that you watched in the Ten Commandments. Or if you watch cartoons, the Prince of Egypt. He's a real person, praise God. He's not a Disney character. Amen. He's not something that Hollywood came up with. Moses is a real historical person, and he's mentioned in the Bible. I was talking with my mom when I was down in New Jersey and just thanking her for how she raised me to learn the Bible when I was a kid. Praise God. And I was telling her how, when I was a kid, before she had me read the Bible, when I was like 6 or 7 years old, I was going to school, and I had heard the stories about Noah's Ark. But it was always like a story that was told along with Cinderella and Snow White and all of them. And so I heard stories about Adam and Eve and Snow White. I didn't know they were in the Bible until I was 11 years old and actually started reading the Bible.
Wow.
And found out that they were actually real people. Wow. And so, I'm thanking my mother for how she taught me to read the Bible and to learn the Word of God. And so I didn't get fooled by a lot of these cartoons and stuff that some of these young kids are watching nowadays, with so much of the inaccuracies from in them. They're enjoyable to watch, but you got to know what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you go by some of the stuff that Hollywood puts out, boy, they'll mess your mind up. All right. Exodus 14. Look at verse 13. Well, let me give you a little bit of background first. Moses and the Israelites had just left Egypt. They had been slaves for 400 years. They had just left. Pharaoh decided, you know what? I can't be losing my free manpower here. So he decided to chase after them and try to bring them back. And so they're stuck by the Red Sea. And so the Israelites began complaining, Moses, Why you bring us all the way out here to die? What's going on? What's up, dog? And so Moses starts praying. Moses, and so look at what God begins to tell Moses in verse 13. As Moses is beginning to pray, the Lord, it says in verse 13, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now look at this. First thing, God says, why are you crying to me? God is saying, this is not the time for you to pray. This is the time for you to start speaking. Now, look at what God tells him to do. He says, tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now, ain't that crazy? You got this Red Sea around them. Nothing, I mean, the Red Sea, the whole bunch of water, deep water. And God is telling him to speak to them and tell them to go forward. If you trust God, when God tells you to do something, it's going to change circumstances. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, look at this. Verse 16. God tells us, Moses, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, Moses started praying when he should have been speaking. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we are praying and asking God to do something, and God is waiting for us to shut up and start speaking over the situation. Praise God. We're saying, God, change this, change this, change this. And God says, well, speak to it, speak to it, speak to it. And I can change it. Amen.
Amen.
Give me authorization. You keep praying, you keep crying, you keep whining. Speak. Hallelujah. Do you know it's just as, if we learn to change our habits, you know, habits are hard to change. I know that it's difficult because, as I was telling y'all last week, I come from a family that are champion complainers. We were the best complainers, and most of my family still is. When I go down to New Jersey, I have to learn to, like, you know, pray and say, Father, change them like you changed me. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because they complain. Boy, they complain. But when I used to be, I was one of the best at it. At one time, I probably could outdo my family members. Praise God. I could complain, complain, and complain. But now I've learned to speak the word. Praise God. Because I found out complaining don't do nothing but make my situation worse.
Amen.
Speaking the word of God makes things happen for the way I want them to happen. Because I want things to line up with the word of God. But Moses, the people were complaining, but Moses learned to speak. And when God told him to speak and then told him to exercise that authority and stretch that rod over the ocean, over the sea, then the sea divided. Glory to God. And the children of Israel were able to cross through. Circumstances changed because Moses, instead of continually praying, began to exercise his authority. Now, don't get me wrong, prayer is vitally important. It is of the utmost importance. You are to pray. Praise God.
Amen.
Don't walk out of here saying, Pastor Troy says, don't pray, just say. Amen. You pray and say. Amen.
Amen.
Pray and say. Say pray and say.
Pray and say.
All right, get that in your spirit so you don't be going out here lying on me. All right. Turn me to Joshua chapter 10. I just want to show you a couple of examples in the Bible so you can see that what I'm talking about is not something I just made up, not something I just got from another Bible teacher somewhere. It's actually something that's in the Bible. Now, it's not to say I didn't learn this from other Bible teachers, because I did. But what I'm teaching you is from the Bible, is not from name your favorite preacher.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's straight from the word of God. There's many things I've learned from other teachers that I would never teach you because I didn't find them lined up with the word of God. Praise God. You know, especially some of the preachers that like come out, and some of them are my favorites, but some of them come up sometimes in Revelation. They talk about it as revelation from God. And it's so goofy. I'm like, where's that in the Bible? That's why my wife can't stand for me to watch some of these Christian channels, because I start, 1 minute I'm up there like, yeah, praise God. And the next minute, I'm like, what in the world is he talking about? My wife is like, just will you just go? Praise God. Joshua chapter 10. Now, Joshua is fighting against the enemy, and the sun is about to go down. And you know, it's pretty difficult to try to win a battle when it's dark. And so Joshua decided to use his authority. Praise God. Look at begin at verse 12. It says, Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said,
Said.
Oh, you got saying power, y'all. He said in the sight of Israel. Now look at this. He did just like Jesus did later on. As a matter of fact, Joshua is the Hebrew word for Jesus. Praise God. Jesus is the Greek Yeshua. Joshua is the same exact word. Amen. So this is Jesus speaking, but a different Jesus. Right? It's just like you can go down to Mexico and meet a whole bunch of people named Jesus. But they're not the Messiah. Glory to God. Anyway, verse 12, he says, and look at this. He's speaking to the sun. He says, he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Now, some people probably saw him saying that, and they probably saw, because he said it right there in the sight of Israel, praise God. Now, they probably looked at him and said, Joshua, and lost his mind. Man, there's been too much war. Something going wrong with him. Maybe it's the desert sun or something. But no, Joshua got results. When you look at verse 13, it says, and the sun stood still, praise God.
Amen.
Now, we know back then they didn't understand all the scientific stuff we understand today. We know that the sun doesn't really move. It's the earth that rotates, blah, blah, blah. But God doesn't go by how much science you know at the time, amen? God didn't say, oh, that's not scientifically accurate, Joshua, so I can't do it. No, God knew what Joshua meant, and so when Joshua spoke, then the earth stopped rotating.
Amen.
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 And in that sense, the sun stood still. So somebody on the other side of the world experienced a long night. But it says, he spoke to the sun. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Praise God. So Joshua spoke to his circumstances, and his circumstances changed. Now, most of us would have been complaining. How am I supposed to get these enemies when the sun is about to go down and it's nighttime? Oh, God, why can't you ever do anything for me? That's what some of us would do. Or some of us would have just been praying and praying. Well, let's just have a time of intercession. No, the sun would have went down and you'd have been killed. Amen.
Amen.
Joshua said, this is time. It ain't no time for praying. It ain't no time for complaining. It's time to speak. And he spoke, and circumstances changed. Glory to God.
Amen.
We've got to learn to speak and see our circumstances change. Let's look at, two more scriptures. Y'all don't mind looking at two more, do you? Mm-hmm. Are you learning anything?
Yes, hallelujah.
Praise God. Let's look at a very familiar story. How many of y'all heard of David, King David? You heard that name. How many of y'all know that he's actually a real person? He's in the Bible too. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Yeah, that was another one. Maybe y'all didn't grow up like I did. But, I mean, that was another one I heard about in the movies and on TV and stuff, and didn't know he was really in the Bible. I used to hear about him and Samson along with Hercules and other fictional characters.
So you said,
What's that?
Those guys were fictional.
Well, in a sense, Hercules is probably real, but that's getting into another realm of the Nephilim. You know, if you study, me and Radimus like to go over and talk about deep stuff like the Nephilim and the Book of Enoch and all those type of things. And so I do believe it. Personally, I do believe that Hercules and all those type of people were real, because they were half breeds of half fallen angels and demons and all that stuff, but that's a whole different realm altogether. One day we'll get into that teaching, probably in a Bible study or during the weekday. It's definitely not something for Sunday sermons, praise God. Amen. But it's interesting study. I love it. I enjoy that kind of stuff. But it's not a Sunday type of thing. But thanks for that correction. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want you to see something here. Matter of fact, the one we're about to talk about is one of those Nephilim. His name is Goliath. He was a giant, which most people believe, in, like I do, that he was a half angel, half human breed. Mm-hmm. All right. 17. David is about to fight this giant because everybody else in Israel, including King Saul, is scared to death of this guy. But here David, a little boy, is real bold dude. And he goes before him. And we go to verse 45. And it says, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword." Oh, notice he said, "said." Praise God.
Amen.
Say, "said."
Said.
So David said something. Before he went into battle with this dude, David said something. Praise God. Now listen to what he said again. David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield." But look at David. Boy, David bad. You can be, if you know the Lord, you can be bad, I'm telling you. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Now look at David. I love this confidence. Verse 46, he says, "This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you." Back in the old day, we say, "I will clock you." And look at this. He says, "I will take your hand from you, and I will give your carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel." Amen. Look at this little boy talking to the big 19-foot giant. And look at verse 47. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand." Verse 48. "And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David ran towards him." David didn't back up. David actually went after the guy. And he met the Philistine. And David put his hand in his back, took a stone, slung it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his head. Boy, that must have been a hard stone. I mean, it sunk into his head. "And he fell down upon his face to the earth." So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Praise God. David spoke. The first thing David did was speak. He told him exactly what was going to happen to him. He said, "This day, I'm going to smite you, and I'm going to feed your body to the fowls of the air." I mean, this little dude talking to this big giant. And he spoke, and he spoke with confidence in God, and what he said came to pass. Praise God. Oh, you can change your situations. Praise Jesus. You can change your circumstances. All you got to do is learn to use your saying power. Hallelujah. Amen. It'll work for you. It worked for David. It worked for Joshua. It worked for Moses. It can work for you. Praise God. Amen. Jesus said it will work for you. He said you can do the same thing. You can change your circumstances. Now let's look at one more passage of scripture. Turn with me to Psalm 91. Things can change. Say, things can change.
Things can change.
Oh, glory to God. If y'all grab, I'm telling you, grab a hold of this, you're going to be some powerhouses. You grab a hold of this, then the midnight calls, the pastor will stop. I'm just kidding. Y'all don't keep calling me. All right, then late afternoon calls, the pastor, where it may stop. You may, you, I don't mind getting the late afternoon calls. Keep calling. But I'll be glad to start hearing pastor. I ain't calling you to ask you for anything. I'm just calling for a testimony. Praise God. Amen. I'll be happy to hear that.
What is the scripture again?
Psalm 91. One of my favorite songs. I love this whole psalm, but for the sake of time, let's start with verse 9. Matter of fact, I'm going to read this to you. Don't even read your version. Just listen to me. I'm going to read this to you from the Bible in basic English. I love this, the way this one puts it. And if you don't have that version, you can get it online. It says, beginning at verse 9, it says, because you have said, I am in the hands of the Lord, the Most High. Said. Because you have said. See, because you have said. See, if you don't say it, you won't have anything to cause your circumstances to change. He says, because you have said, I am in the hands of the Lord. The Most High is my safe resting place. No evil will come on you, and no disease will come near your tent. Ooh, hallelujah. If I speak it, it can't come near me. Praise God. For he will give his angels charge over you. Or he will put you into the care of his angels to keep you wherever you go. In their hands, they will keep you up so that your foot may not be crushed against a stone. You will put your foot on the lion and the snake. The young lion and the great snake will be crushed under your feet. Praise God. See, if you speak to your circumstances got to change. Because when you say what God says, when you say what the Word of God says, then God's Word will become effective in your life. Praise God. Amen. Listen to me, y'all. Satan is already defeated. He only has as much power in your life as you give him. The Bible says that he is potentially under your feet. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 says that this is the reason why Jesus was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 says that he destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. The Bible tells you plain and clear that Satan is a defeated enemy. God's people have no reason to be scared of him and to be letting him beat you down. If you will learn to take God's word and stand against him, the Bible tells you not to be running from the devil. It tells you to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It tells you to resist the devil. Well, first submit yourself to God and then resist the devil, and the Bible says he will flee from you. Another version says he will run and start raving terror. Glory to God.
Amen.
But you've got to learn to speak the word of God. Stop speaking what your circumstances say. If you want your circumstances to change, then speak what you want in your circumstances. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Allow God to release his angels on your behalf. Because God, you limit God. Well, how can I limit the omnipotent, all-powerful God? Because he's given you freedom of your will. Like I always tell you, I may be stronger than my children, but I don't force my will on them. Amen. I could, but I don't. God is, he respects you. Say, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Say, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Ladies, remember, if you want a man, make sure he's a gentleman. Amen. Don't be going with these guys who's going to force you to go to bed with them before they put a ring on your finger. Don't be going with these guys who's going to force you. It's going to be my way or no way. Then you take the highway. Praise God.
Amen.
Find somebody that's as close to Jesus as you possibly can find. Amen. The rest of y'all too far away from him, but no, I'm just kidding on that part. But we all have shortcomings. We're all trying to become like Jesus, but at least find somebody that's trying their best to become more and more like Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But on that note, remember, this does pertain to this. You ladies, you want a husband, you young men, you want wives? Start speaking the kind of wife, the kind of husband you want. Praise God. Start saying, this is the kind of man that's going to come into my life. Amen. This is the kind of woman that's going to come into my life. Start speaking what you want. And now, if you're already married, too late to divorce. Just start speaking over your husband what you want him to be. Amen. Start speaking over your wife what you want her to be. You know, I don't like the way she is. Start saying this is the way she's going to be. And then maybe God will start showing you what you need to be. Amen. Amen. I learned that the hard way. Complaining about my wife and just asking God, please change her. And God says, well, I'm sure will, but here's some things about you that need to change first. After he gave me my long list. No, it wasn't that long, but still, I learned that it ain't all about me, praise God. Amen. Stand to your feet. Did you learn anything today?
Amen.
Yeah.
You're going to learn to use your saying power the right way.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give God a hand, praise.